typical murderers. Some plan their crimes meticulously, while others kill on impulse.
It's Jason Voorhees.
Fred Krueger, Mother. Fred Krueger!
It is time, Michael.
When there is no more room in hell.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
The dead.
What's your favorite scary movie?
We'll walk the earth.
I'm eternal, child. I am the eater of all
tears, tears. It's a waste of good suffering.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The boogeyman is real.
Here's Johnny.
The blackest eyes.
Every year.
The devil's eyes.
Don't fall asleep.
It's got a death curse.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Death Curse Radio. I'm your host, Nathan Barker, and joining me tonight are co-anchors Kent Mullins.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And Jesse Gilbert.
Hey.
And for tonight's episode, we will be taking some time to discuss a film that was a loose remake to a movie released back in 1978. So tonight, we will be discussing our thoughts on Piranha 3D. Now, given a 5.5 rating on IMDb, this film has plenty of blood and a great cast, featuring the likes of Elizabeth Shue, Jerry O'Connell, Ving Rhames, and, of course, other appearances from well-known faces in horror, such as Eli Roth and Richard Dreyfuss and Christopher Lloyd, all great faces to see. Now, this film features all the things that you would come to expect from a horror film. It's definitely a bloodbath. And of course, it has all sorts of partying and girls. And of course, we all know that shit goes hand in hand. So, and of course, the suspense of who the piranhas are going to chomp on next, of course. Now, we will get into the details and all that good shit in a bit, but I just want to kick things off with an issue that I guess I had with the film. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed this film and it's a fun watch and a different bit of a storyline for the horror genre compared to the traditional slashers and ghosts and zombies and all that good stuff. But I just have to say that this film just wasn't scary or eerie to me. I mean, there were great bits here and there that I think they definitely could have capitalized on a bit more, but it wasn't a scary film. And some of that, I think, came from the lack of a suspenseful score that we're used to seeing with like shark movies and all that good stuff, you know, like Jaws and, of course, the famous Jaws theme. And that adds a lot to a film and, of course, a lot of depth and dimension, too. There was no good buildup of suspense, and I think that was probably one of the main things this film lacked. So before we jump into the other stuff, Kent, we'll start with you. And what are your thoughts on that, if any?
Well, up until probably – I watched it yesterday. I had seen it when it first came out, and I got to say that this film is probably going to go into my vault of guilty pleasures. I think it's best if you don't watch it with any kind of serious – you know, I think that you should watch this in the same tone that you would watch Army of Darkness or Shaun of the Dead or The Frighteners or something like that, because I feel like the second you have a fish burping a dick into the water and then re-eating it, that changes the mood of the movie drastically. I think that it's a cheese fest, but in the most beautiful way possible. A combination of horrible CGI, unrealistically fake boobs, and comedy, and it's just gore porn. I think that it's supposed to be taken lightly, and I don't know that it was really supposed to be a traditional, you know, horror film in that sense. Like, you know, I just think it's supposed to be fun, man. And I had fun watching it. And I do have issues with the movie that I'll get into later. But overall, I mean, they had me at fucking having Richard Dreyfuss as an ode to Jaws, you know, one of the OG Jaws cast members being the first kill. How fucking awesome is that in the most horrible CGI ever? It's just, I think it's supposed to be watched along the lines of like Sharknado or something like that. But yeah, man, I like it. I had fun watching it.
It's definitely a fun watch, like I mentioned already. I enjoyed the film. It's just one of those things where when there's that much blood and that much, like you said, the horrible CGI, but it works. it's just, it feels like it's just missing something in there. So you're right. And I agree with that in the aspect of you kind of just have to watch it for what it is and put it in the same boat as some of the other films that you mentioned. But I guess maybe I'm just, I guess maybe I'd like to see a dark version of that, because really think about how terrifying of a film they could turn that into if they wanted to, right?
Oh, absolutely. This could be done, you know, from a serious aspect, the way that they approach like the Evil Dead remake, and it could be really scary. It could make you, think twice about going into the water the way Jaws did. That possibility is certainly there, but that is absolutely not the route that they took. I feel like the second they brought Christopher Lloyd and Adam Scott on board, who I love both. I love both those guys. And how awesome was Christopher Lloyd in this movie? Am I wrong in thinking that he was so good in this movie?
Oh, for sure. It reminded me of Back to the Future. That's the first thing I thought when I first watched this movie many years ago. It immediately reminded me of Back to the Future.
And, you know, you got Ving Rhames, who just has possibly the most unnecessary death in movie history. Like, fucking dude, you're standing beside a boat. It's it's shin deep water. And I was just laughing the whole time and just having a good time, man. It's just, there's a lot of retarded shit in it, but it's fun.
There is. And we'll get to some of that, because I was going to touch on that a little bit later. I don't want to get too far out of ourselves, but definitely we'll touch on that later. But yeah, definitely awesome to see Christopher Lloyd in there. And like I said, I first thought of Back to the Future because it just really reminded me of that when I saw it. And like I said, if you've never seen the film, just keep in mind that it is really not that scary of a film. It's basically what Kent said. That's the aspect that you have to take into watching it. But either way, I think most people would enjoy it, other than they might want to see a darker version of it, like I definitely do. And maybe we'll see that down the road. But Jesse, did you have any thoughts on that, of what we were just talking about?
The originals were comedies. It makes sense that the remakes were comedies. For me, I guess the experience was a lot different. We have a couple like different campgrounds that are not too far away from where I live, like within about 45 minutes to an hour. And one of them in particular does these events sometimes where they do a, like, I guess it's kind of a drive-by drive-in, because they put this in enormous inflatable screen up near the water, and you basically go sit on a raft in the water and watch movies. Or on your boat, you can pull up and watch them and stuff. And that's how I saw Piranha 3D. And I've seen Jaws that way too, but like, I don't know, like watching in a situation like this, you know, you're in the water, you know, this is a stupid comedy, but like, it just increases the what the fuck factor for me, I guess. It was so much fun. It was as gory as I wanted it to be. Yeah, there were even some continuity issues. There was a lot of problems with the movie on and off. Things that, you know, just were completely unbelievable. But for me, that just made the experience greater.
Yeah, and I've heard of those events that you mentioned, and that would definitely be a cool way to check out the film. And Kent, since you mentioned Ving Rhames, and of course, there's a lot of ridiculousness in the film. I get it. It is what it is. But the thing with Ving Rhames, okay, that it's almost like, what the fuck, okay? You're going to stand there in the water holding a boat motor and trying to fight off these thousands of piranhas, but I mean, everybody else is just getting just literally destroyed by these things, but somehow they did not completely swarm him instantly and just rip him into nothing. He manages to fight off a bunch of them, and it's like, wait a minute, you have these on all angles of you, and how did you not just literally get torn into pieces like in 5 seconds? I mean, it's like, what the fuck?
And even on top of that, like, what is the point? Like, you're not going to kill them all with that little fucking boat motor, and you wouldn't even be able to, in reality, hold that boat motor steady. It pushes a fucking boat. Like, you can't,
right,
I don't care
exactly
how strong you are. Just the most unnecessary. I think he wanted to die. I think that his character maybe had some depression issues, and it wasn't even about trying to save anybody. He's just like, fuck it, this is a good way to go and look like a hero.
Yeah, but, and
or a dipshit. I would argue dipshit.
Pretty much. I mean, like you said, it's a wonder that it just didn't propel him right into death. There's no way that you could be doing that. I don't care if you're fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, you're not going to be able to hold that boat motor like that. That was just ridiculous.
But
yeah. Go ahead.
You know, speaking of cameos, like like I said, the second I see Adam Scott in anything, I'm no longer taking that movie seriously. And I love Adam Scott. I don't think he's ever done anything that I didn't love, but he's not. The second you see him, I feel like in a movie, you automatically know that this probably isn't going to be taken seriously. And the same obviously goes for Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. And that's right around the time that Adam really started getting bigger, I think, because of course Step Brothers was just before that. And of course some of his other projects, but yeah, I mean, I see what you mean by that, but with some of the other faces in there too, you would kind of expect it to be a little bit more serious, but I get what it is. And I think they definitely added a good change of scenery, because there's not a lot of good films out there like that. Like we talked about before, mentioning Evil Dead and seeing some of the things in other films that are kind of in a similar boat, but you can't really compare them. This one just kind of stands by itself to me. And there's a lot of good things about it. We can pick anything apart really, but I'm really surprised that you didn't just bash the fuck out of the CGI after what we talked about with Jeepers Creepers.
Well, the CGI was absolutely fucking horrendous. Just as bad, if not, no, not worse than Jeepers Creepers. But the difference for me is Jeepers Creepers 3 was supposed to be taken more serious. They were actually trying to be scary, whereas Piranha is self-aware. It knows what it is, and it's not trying to be something that it's not. I feel like this is my opinion. But, and also Jeepers Creepers 3 wasn't fun at all to watch. It's happening to you like a rape. And the only difference in watching Jeepers Creepers 3 and being raped is you can turn off Jeepers Creepers 3. But, yeah, at no point did I regret watching Piranha, because, you know what? One big issue that I have with this movie is the relentless and nonstop dancing girls in bikini shots, because I'm just one of those, I don't like to be teased, so either show something or don't. Otherwise, get on with the movie. Let's move on with the plot. If I wanted to see that, I would turn on TRL or you know, MTV Spring Break or whatever. That stuff got kind of old pretty quick. But yeah, man, it was just fun. Just a fun movie.
Definitely. And I agree. The dancing Girls Gone Wild MTV Spring Break bullshit, yeah, they went way over the top with that. They could have probably gotten away with probably could have cut that in half. That would have probably been sufficient. I mean, we get it. It's spring break on the lake, and I agree. Let's move the fuck on. And since you mentioned the girls, then let's just talk about the little underwater swimming sequence. It's like, I mean, are these fucking mermaids? How long can they hold their breath? Are you kidding me? They're down there forever.
Is that not only that, but was it just me or was like maybe 65 to 60% of that long drawn out unnecessary scene CGI? Or was it just, were they CGI'd into a background? There was some kind of, I couldn't really pinpoint what was going on there, but CGI was happening there. And I couldn't tell if the entire scene was CGI'd or if they had filmed them in a separate location. And then like something was off, but I could not pinpoint what it was. And, you know, I could have been distracted a little bit, but something was off there.
Definitely. But, and I know often we're overly critical of these films, but seriously, I mean, they were swimming down there for a long fucking time. I mean, come on.
Are we also going to ignore the fact that that young man, what was his name in the movie? I got it pulled up here. Let's see here. Jake, the our protagonist of the film, our main protagonist, is they mentioned several times that he is 17 years old.
Right.
And then you've got this chick that's after him who looks like she's in her early 30s. That was a little creepy to me. And then you also have to assume that the girl that they bring on the boat with them is also 17 years old. And then you got creepy ass Jerry O'Connell trying to get into her pants. So there's also some things that I feel like they didn't take into account when they were making it.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I mean, once again, it's a movie, so but you know how that is. They're always showing shit that would be questionable anyway. But that, yeah, I would have said let's bump the age up a little bit there, just to not have the creepiness of that, of with the 17-year-old. So, but I mean, whatever. They didn't show anything, so it's whatever as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I'm right there with you on that. But I will say that a lot of the ridiculousness in this film, it just works. And you guys can appreciate this. I love the mass scene where everybody's just getting destroyed. It's just so ridiculous. But it literally, like, I want to laugh when I watch it, because when the guy is in the boat, and I mean, he's just thumping the fuck out of people, just running them over left and right. And that part is to me is funny as shit. But it reminded me of something the last time I watched it, and that was Tony Todd's Night of the Living Dead. You know, when they're driving in the truck and he's running over all the zombies, they reminded me exactly of that, because to me that was funny in that film, just hearing the bodies thumping on the truck and shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was I know exactly what you're talking about, and that's also probably it is my favorite scene in the whole movie. Because, you know, the only two things that this movie really delivers on is gore and boobs. And, you know, that tides me over just fine. But that was the best scene in the movie. I'm right there with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything about it, there was so much good shit going on. But I'm just watching. I'm like, oh, my God, this reminds me of Night of the Living Dead, the way he's running over these people. Just thump, thump one after another. Fucking hilarious. But some of the kill shots, I thought, were the best in that, when the boat explodes the head, and then, of course, the girl gets her hair caught in the prop. I mean, there's a lot going on in that scene, and that definitely is the highlight of the film right there. I mean, it's a total bloodbath.
They really encapsulated chaos very well in that. That's about as chaotic as you can make a ridiculous premise like piranhas in a lake. They pulled that off about as well as you could.
Yeah, which brings me to another point. When the fucking sheriff's department shows up and tells you to leave, hopefully you learned your lesson and you will listen to the sheriff. I mean, come on, people. It's just funny because they're basically just like, yeah, fuck you, we're on spring break. And then guess what, assholes? Now you're all going to die.
You know, that actually brings up a good flaw in the movie. I feel like you saying that is I don't give a fuck what happens to anybody in this entire movie. Like, nobody. There's not a likable character in this whole movie. Like, Jake, the main protagonist, is a whiny little pussy, and the chick that he's there with is kind of a cunt, and everybody else is just douchebags. So why the fuck do I care if these people get eaten by piranhas?
True. I can definitely side with you on that one. And I would have been fine with just everybody dying. Let the sheriff get eaten. Let everybody get eaten. I'm totally fine with that, especially when they're trying to, well, they're climbing across at the end. And now I'm going to have to pick on the ending. We can do that in a little bit, but the ending was fucking ridiculous too. But everything in the movie is ridiculous, so go figure. But of course, you've got everybody trying to, you know, skim their way across the rope and get to safety. And of course, Kelly Brooks' character, she doesn't make it. And yeah, of course you're not going to make it. Not everybody's going to make it, but yeah, it's one thing after another with this film, but I still have to say that it just all works. I don't know. What do you think, Jesse? I mean, was there anything that you were thinking like, this is just too much, or does this film work for you like it does for us?
It worked for me on every level. I agree that the CG was bad, but that just kind of, I don't know, that kind of made it funnier to me. I know Kent was talking about the underwater scene. They actually did film them underwater in a separate location, but they also used CGI. So it was kind of both at that time. I also, like, didn't care about any one of the characters. I cared about some of the actors. Like, he said that when he knew Adam Scott was in the movie, that he knew it wasn't going to be serious. Well, see, I love Adam Scott personally, not just for his comedy, but he was also in a Hellraiser movie. So that makes me like him more. I was kind of sad when he died as a character, as the actor, but not as character, I guess. But yeah, I mean, just overall, man, there was not a moment that I wasn't laughing my ass off or cheering or something, but I was engaged in this movie, like, intensely.
Yeah, I mean, mentioning Adam Scott, I love Adam Scott's work. I love pretty much everything that he's in. I think he's a great actor. And I do think that might have been around a time. I'm not going to disagree with Kent there, because he didn't really have any real serious roles that I can think of off the top of my head, anything noteworthy around the time that that film was made. Like I said, he had came off of Step Brothers just a couple of years prior and some other stuff, but I think he does great. So to me, that really wasn't, I didn't think to myself immediately like, oh, this isn't going to be a serious or a dark film or whatever. So that didn't necessarily spoil anything for me, but yeah, I mean, the film just works all the way around, everything about it, because even though we did bash the fuck out of Jeepers Creepers 3 about the CGI, I mean, that film sucked regardless of the crappy CGI. But with this one, I mean, yeah, we can pick on it, but it still works. It definitely still works. And if I'm going to pick on anything with the film, that would be basically what it is. I'm going to pick on the CGI. So that's, to me, definitely the biggest downfall of this movie. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, but for me, if I had to point my finger at one bad thing, that I'd definitely point it that way.
Yeah, I agree. And going back to, I don't have an issue with the actors from the movie. I didn't mean that. Like, I love Adam Scott. I love Adam Scott in Step Brothers and, you know, Krampus. And I love Ving Rhames. I don't think Ving Rhames has ever done anything that I didn't love. Christopher Lloyd, how can you not love Christopher? Eli Roth, Jerry O'Connell. Stand By Me is one of my favorite movies ever. It goes on and on, you know. Paul Scheer, I think he's hilarious. It's Richard Dreyfuss. Like, I love all of these actors. Just in this particular movie, I didn't care about any of them.
No, and I didn't either. Like I said, it definitely worked for what it was, but I'm sure you guys would agree too that you would expect seeing faces like Christopher Lloyd, Richard Dreyfuss, Eli Roth, Ving Rhames. Ving has such a great skill set. I mean, look how wide of a variety you've seen him portray in all the great movies that he's done. And he's been in serious horror films. So I guess when those names are attached, that you might not expect it to be as campy and on the horror comedy side as it is. I don't know. Does that make sense to any of you guys?
Well, I mean, like I said, the original was horror comedy. So like when they announced this project before any trailers, before really any information came out, I kind of already knew from the moment that they put it out there that it was probably going to be horror comedy. But then, yeah, the cast list kind of confused me a little bit. Then I got excited, but it was a little confusing at first to know for a fact.
I mean, I'm trying to think back to 2010. Obviously, that's been, we're looking at, this film's been out for 8 years now. And that was a really busy year and a busy time for me. And I really don't specifically remember. I remember when the movie was out, when it was new. I don't think I went and seen it in the theater. But for some odd reason, I don't remember like being excited for that particular film. I don't know if there was something else out around that same time or if there was something else that was distracting me or whatever. But I remember watching it for the first time and I'm like, fuck yeah, this is a good watch. And I'll be honest, I have not even seen the original. And I didn't even know until after, I mean, I knew that there was a Piranha film, but I wasn't putting two and two together. I do remember back then, I remember not really being aware that it was a loose remake of the film from 78. So I don't know about what the horror comedy was from that film. I need to put that on my watch list, but it's kind of one of those movies that kind of is forgotten about it. If you think about it, you don't ever hear anybody talking about it. It just kind of, I think the newer films kind of overshadowed it, even though 3DD, really, we can talk about that one for material down the road. But I think those films overshadowed the original. So yeah, I mean, I'll take your word for it. If this film kind of mimicked or was following what they did in 78, I'm sure that's true.
I can say that, like, so there's multiple. There was, this is actually the second time they've remade Piranha. There was 1 and 2, then the remake in 95, and then this one. But the first two were, like, over the top, ridiculous. And on top of that, like, by the time the second one came out, like, some of the plot line was that they were able to be on land and not just in the water. So it got even more ridiculous and funny from there.
Yeah, and I'm not even aware of the 95 film. That one, that one must have missed me somehow. Of course, I wouldn't even have been old enough to really give a rat's ass at that point in time anyway. So, you know, it's whatever with that. But, yeah, I mean, You don't hear anybody talk about the one from 95 either. I'd have to fucking Google it right now. So the last two have definitely overshadowed them in all aspects.
You know, one thing that I really did like about this movie, I like a lot of things about this movie. I like almost everything about this movie aside from what I pointed out. But one of my favorite things is the explanation for why these piranhas are here, as unrealistic as it may be or may not be. I don't know. I'm not a geologist. But this scene, one thing that kind of, I both love it and I hate it, and I'll tell you why. First off, I love the idea of this seam opening up underneath this lake and then there being this whole entire world underneath the lake. I think that was really cool, and I wish they could have explored this world a little bit more. But I feel like it was also a missed opportunity because they could have had this whole ecosystem down there with all kinds of creatures and all kinds of crazy shit. Whereas, well, no, we just get this one piranha. And nothing else. And I feel like that was kind of a missed opportunity. Also, what the fuck, man? Like, at the end of the movie, little dipshit there blows up the propane tanks and blows up the boat and supposedly kills all of the, what we are soon to find out, are just the baby piranhas. Sorry, there's a semi-truck driving by right now. But what we just found out are the baby piranhas. Whereas just 2 minutes ago, on the other side of the lake, there was a whole other swarm of piranhas. Am I to believe that every single one of those piranhas that just caused that chaos made it over to that boat in a split second, and now they're all killed from that one explosion? That was some more issues that I had with the film, and also one thing that I liked about it.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that's movie time for you. They can be in one place 1 second and another place the next. And then, I mean, if we really want to break it down, then how come the fucking parent piranha didn't die? I mean, all of a sudden he's there to pick Adam Scott off the boat. I mean, come on.
Yeah, so, where's? Go ahead, Jesse.
Okay, the what you're talking about, the explanation actually does make sense. That was meant to parody something that was going on in real life, where they actually found a nursing ground in a trench that was all blocked off for megalodons. And they actually found six baby megalodons that had already that were already at like 6 or 7 feet long by the time they found them. And a lot of they found like corpses of previous ones. But yeah, they were just continuing to breed since like the megalodons existed. It was this whole weird event that was happening in the news at the time.
Yeah, but we're talking about piranha, not the megalodon. So where do they, what are they parodying? As far as that goes, maybe there was something that I missed out on. I don't know.
The fact that a prehistoric water-dwelling creature was found in a similar manner, that's the only parody that they were basically doing. Because, you know, piranhas existed in that time too, so they just, I guess, made a parallel.
Yeah, but I mean, having one of the parent fish, if you will, jumping out of the boat right after a huge explosion happens that supposedly wiped out a bunch of them is like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that part was stupid. That made no sense.
Right. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to parody something or whatever. I don't know. I don't Google this shit and try to figure out all the crap like you try to do or whatever. But I don't necessarily feel like they were trying to parody something by having him picked out of the boat by this jumping fucking fish that magically appeared again. But I mean, if you say so, I'll go with it. But either way, it was fucking stupid. I'll just call it like I see it. And what else was fucking stupid was, just like you saying, Kent, about blowing up the boat. I mean, come on. You think those two little propane tanks there, even if they were completely filled, in those circumstances are going to make an explosion like that? No.
And it sure as hell isn't going to, because at this point we've been led to believe that there are thousands upon thousands upon shit. Ving Rhames, you know, while he was committing suicide, killed probably 200 or 300 himself. And then when this boat, let's just say that those propane tanks did make an explosion like that in the water, we're not seeing nearly as many dead as we have been led to believe exist in this lake throughout the movie. It didn't make any fucking sense at all.
No, not one bit. Again, we can just point to the fact that it is a movie, but It just adds to the ridiculousness of the whole film in general. But once again, it just works. I don't know how to explain it. It just works.
Not to mention the fact, back on the shore where the, I hadn't even thought about this until just now, back on the shore where the main attack just happened, it's a fucking buffet. There are bodies everywhere. They could have ate for days and never gotten full. Why are they concerning themselves with these couple of assholes out on this boat on the other side of the lake, which we're led to believe is miles away, judging by the way the sheriff reacts when she finds out that her little ones are stranded on this sinking boat. So, like, why do they even care? There's all this food that they've... I mean, there was like 500 dead bodies in that water. Like, fuck those other people on the boat.
Well, exactly. I mean, add that to the list of ridiculous shit. But yeah, it just makes you wonder. And I just have to say that, I mean, you just kind of have to laugh it off, really, because none of it makes sense. But I don't know. It just works.
Another completely dumb, useless fact, and I don't know why I know all these things, but that was actually the only point in fact that equated to a real-life piranha. If you are actually in the water in what it considers its territory, no matter how much food is nearby, it will focus on that point first.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to have a couple piranha. I had a pretty large fish tank, and I wanted to get some and check them out, and they and this is a little off topic, but whatever, we're talking about piranha, so I'm just going to throw it out there. These fucking fish were the biggest pain in my ass. I grew them, and they were pretty decent size, and then I ended up selling them and making a little bit of a profit. But these fish, if you're going to have them in an aquarium, they are just absolutely a nightmare to deal with. They make a mess because they're obviously eating, whether you feed them minnows or goldfish, because it's funny as shit. You drop in a goldfish, and all of a sudden, in 2 seconds, boom, all you see is a flash of glitter, and that fucking goldfish is gone. And I'd feed them chicken leftover, you know, if I had a little bit of a pork chop left or something like that. I fed them all kinds of meat. And I mean, these son of a bitches were big. But yeah, I just want to throw that out there that if you just randomly thought sometime you might actually want to have them in your house, and if you have an aquarium, don't do that.
I'll be honest, man. Like, the idea of piranha scare the shit out of me. I don't like things that want to eat me being in water that is murky water. That idea, Jaws got me with that. I don't like the idea of my feet dangling in water and feeling something and not knowing what it is. And I remember whenever I was little, going to this, you know, I grew up in this little hick ass town, and we had a swimming hole, and we used to swim at this creek. And I remember going off this rope swing into the creek, and I had landed on top of a huge mud turtle. And I remember the way that felt moving underneath my feet, and I didn't know what it was at the time. And it like almost scarred me for life. And this just kind of, for me personally, works on that level, is especially when you see these videos of people throwing pieces of meat and stuff in the water, and the water is calm. And the second that meat hits the water, it's like an explosion goes off. That freaks me out. I don't have phobias of heights or snakes or spiders or any of that stuff, but something in the water that I can't see that wants to eat me kind of freaks me out. So I guess going back to, if this movie had been done seriously, I think it would have really got me personally. Yeah, piranhas are dickheads, man.
Oh, they are. Like I said, I think I started out with like six of them, and they eat each other. If they're fucking hungry, they'll eat each other. And I remember, funny as shit, I remember going downstairs one morning, and because the guy told me when I bought them, he's like, you need to count them because they'll kill each other. If they're that hungry, they'll just eat each other. And so he said, you need to keep a count to lose track of one. And it's fucking funny. I go downstairs, and I had counted them the night before, and I'm wanting to say that I had six. And because I really wanted, because once they matured, I wanted to have like two or three of them. So the guy's like, well, buy six, because you're going to end up losing a couple of them. Trust me. So I remember going downstairs, and I think there were six the night before, like I said, and I look in the tank, and I shit you not, this is a true fucking story. I look at these little assholes in there, and all of them have a guilty look on their face. I am not fucking exaggerating, like a dog that did something wrong. These fish are sitting in there and there's five of them. And I'm like, and they're all kind of looking like the look on their face was like, they knew that they did something wrong. I mean, it was fucking hilarious.
They had the old Mexican standoff the first 15 minutes after you left, just in a circle looking at each other. Who's it gonna be?
Yeah. It's like, you know, one of them's just, and then one of them just had even more of a guilty look on his face. And I'm like looking at his stomach and I'm like, that you're probably the one that ate your fucking brother there, asshole. But yeah, that's, they are dickheads and they're just, they make a fucking mess everywhere. I mean, you got to clean the tank all these extra times compared to a normal aquarium. And it just got to be a pain in the ass. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm getting rid of these little clowns. So yeah, it was fun for the time being and funny as shit to watch goldfish get turned into glitter. Because it literally happens like within 1 second and those assholes are just gone. So, but yeah, I mean, let's talk about one of my favorite parts in this film because it's just the scene of typical dumbasses. So when the girl's out, I guess she's parasailing, whatever you want to call that shit. And of course, let's do that with our top pulled off to the side because that really makes no sense at all. But anyways, that's fine. You can slut it up out there. That's whatever. So the dickwads that are in the boat are like not knowing what's going on. And then all of a sudden they pull up a torso. And I'm like, that is fucking awesome.
Yeah, that scene was really great. I also like the, there's just so much unnecessary nudity. I'm not complaining. I'm all about some nudity, but as we talked about in previous episodes, I prefer my nudity to come from third world pornography.
Of course.
But
but think about this, though. I mean, think about this. I've been to Mexico, okay? I've been to foreign countries. I've been out on the beaches, whatever. I've seen people parasailing I don't know how many times. I've never seen a girl topless parasailing. Maybe I was at the wrong beach. I don't know.
It was just stupid. She had a top on, too. It was just unnecessary. Just why? Right. Why do you just have your tits out?
Right. Why? Exactly. Like if she didn't have the top on. Right. But I mean, if she should have just, okay, that's fine. Just take the top off if that's what you want to do. Hey, yeah. if you want to fly around like that, then by all means. But it added to the ridiculousness. But it's kind of one of those things where, like, really, come on.
And it's just like that scene where that chick is standing there on the boat in the chaos scene and the cable breaks, and yeah. It cuts her. In half, well, sort of. I don't know what you would call that. Cuts her in that awkward way. That it was like a almost
right between
like
the cleavage.
Shit. Yeah, and then it's just like we got to get one more titty in here real quick right, for no reason exactly. whatsoever.
Yeah. Now another thing that I have to poke at a little bit because I like to drink. You know that we've partied, we've drank, we both like our booze. So when they're having their little stupid fucking body shots on the boat. How much fucking tequila, Jerry O'Connell, do you have to pour on this girl's stomach and watch literally almost all of it run down and be a waste? Now, I'm sorry, but that's alcohol abuse. No, I can't be having that.
I saw that and I thought that's got to burn getting on those nether regions because it was going right down into her crotch. So I had to. I've never had tequila on my man parts, but I would imagine that's like pouring kerosene on. That had to burn a little bit, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know what some tequila on the old wiener would be like. I don't even want to think about that. But I mean, seriously, I'm just thinking, how much booze do you need to pour? I've seen people do body shots at the fucking bar. I mean, they don't pour 6-7 shots worth and let it run all over the bar. I mean, come on. I mean, while we're talking about ridiculousness, I just have to give a jab out to that. That was bullshit. Total alcohol abuse.
One of the most ridiculous deaths, and also probably my favorite, was the girl on the raft that was thought that if she sat up on the raft, the piranha wouldn't get her. Like, it was ignorance at its finest.
Oh, of course. I mean, death by getting your ass fucking mangled. Like, death by ass destruction. I mean, literally, you got your ass chewed on by piranhas and you died. I mean, how would you like to have that on your tombstone?
You know, exactly. They also really they really played Jerry O'Connell up there in his death scene.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They really made him look good there for a minute.
Yeah, and especially when they had the towel or blanket over him or whatever, and he's still alive. And it's like, this is fucking bullshit. I'm sorry, you're not still alive. Your body is completely destroyed. And it's funny because, like, typical ridiculousness of the film, when he's just worried about his dick being chewed off. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure that would be the first thing out of your mouth. If your lower extremities just got destroyed by piranhas, you're going to be talking about your dick being chewed off.
In his defense, I feel like that would be the first thing that, that any of us would say in that situation. Cause you can take my legs, but, the second that's gone, I don't have anything to move on for. Like, what is the point?
Well, I mean, so, you know, you're pretty much fucked at that point anyway. I mean, he shouldn't have been alive anyway. It's fucking bullshit. Like, he would have bled so much, he would have already been dead. I mean, come on.
And then his last words were wet t-shirts.
right. Just add to the ridiculousness. But no, they definitely hit that right on point.
Also, I mean, Jerry O'Connell, we just saw you in a Speedo, like the whole movie. And what those piranhas chewed up down there was not jiving with what we had seen in that Speedo the rest of the movie.
Right. I mean, and then of course, just add to the list. And what's funny is when he's got the nose full of cocaine and old Jakey's like, yeah, my mom's the sheriff. And he's like, oh, I'm going to straighten up real quick.
I think I would have told him to fuck off the second he said that. That adds to the whole, none of these characters have any redeemable qualities. Even the kids, like, even those kids, I could care less what happened to them. They're just all little shitheads. Nobody is likable in this whole movie, but I mean, it's fun. Like I said, I enjoy the movie. It's a lot of fun, but ultimately it holds no weight in terms of who dies because I don't care. I'm just eating popcorn and laughing and enjoying it all.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I think another thing this film lacked was, even though it's so watchable, and like you said, there's no shortage of women. And speaking of the women in the film, Kelly Brook, Riley Steele, there's really, as far as the ones that we see the most up close, partying on the boat and all that good shit, none of them really, like, I feel like they could have came up with some better actresses for those spots. I mean, come on. With it being so over the top, don't you think that they would have? And I'm not saying that that any of those girls, I'm not attacking their looks by any means, or that they're not attractive. Kelly Brook is a model. I mean, that speaks for herself. But just in general, I think they probably could have came up with some better candidates. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I think that one of the things that got me is I fully agree with you. We have all these male actors that are like well-known, Christopher Lloyd, Eli Roth, Jerry O'Connell, all these people. But female-wise, the only thing we really got, and it, you know, I like Elizabeth Chu a lot, but she was the only, like, I guess, female actress that was well-known that was brought into it for, like, I guess, a cameo-type character.
Yeah, with all the Barbie doll fucking girls out there, and there's no shortage of women that they could have cast. And like I said, you would expect them to see more Barbie doll type girls. Not that the swimming mermaid girls or whatever. I mean, I'm just saying I would have expected them to go like way more over the top with it. I'm trying to think of a good candidate that would be perfect for that, but just somebody that's just got the way too big implants and just, you know what I'm saying?
I think that it could have been a lot better with more of a, like, Sarah Silverman or Amy Schumer character in it.
Yeah, I mean, that could have worked, but there really wasn't anything that set the tone as far as that goes. So, I mean, yeah, that would have worked either way.
I'm just not a fan of the implants and the cookie cutter, you know, Baywatch look. I think that's kind of boring. I'd like to see more homegrown kind of fuller, that kind of natural stuff. I get kind of bored with the cookie cutter bimbo bullshit.
Yeah. And I'm right there with you on that. I totally agree. But for what this film is doing and what they're, I guess, lacking also, or the ridiculousness, or just however you want to coin it, you would expect to see more of the outlandish plastic surgery, I guess, with the more of the main character or more seen women, like the girls partying on the boat.
But that's just my opinion.
I agree with Kent and I agree with Nathan. Like I'm tired of the Barbie whole look too. I like more natural women myself. But this was a beach body type movie. It was set up that way. So you kind of have to, like Nathan said, use people that, you know, have more endowed, probably fake. You just kind of expect that sort of thing, I guess.
Oh, definitely. And if you look at all the hundreds of partiers, the dickwads that didn't listen to the sheriff, if you look at most of those girls in there, they're not the Barbie doll type by any means. I mean, I'm not saying that none of them weren't big chested or whatever, but they're all pretty average bodied looking for the most part. I mean, it's pretty spread out, but just because of the campiness and the over the top, that's why I think, I mean, I'd rather see the non Barbie doll types myself, but I just think with everything else that's just something that I'm surprised that they didn't go with as far as a few of those girls are concerned.
I mean, and you know, in the movie's defense, they kept it pretty even with, you know, the males that they showed close-ups on and everything were the same kind of the exact, you know, counterpart to the females in terms of just being douchey looking stereotypical frat douchebags, like with the six packs and the backwards hats and all that garbage. So, I mean, they kept it even, at least.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, you really don't see any of the Jersey Shore clowns or the Trents from Friday the 13th, 2009. You don't really see any of that. It's kept pretty down to earth. But yeah, I mean, just some thoughts. I mean, I just would have thought they would have went with some over the top on the plastic surgery and stuff. But it works either way. It's just something that kind of crossed my mind thinking of the big picture.
I feel like this movie was the secret key missing here was Shannon Elizabeth. That's what could have really turned this movie around.
Oh my God. That would have been a deal breaker right there. I mean, that would have made a huge, huge difference. I mean, fuck, she was in Scary Movie. Why can't she be in Piranha? God damn it. If they do another Piranha movie, she better fucking have some sort of appearance in it. I don't care if she's in her 40s now. I mean, Jesus Christ, she's definitely aging very well. So they need to definitely put her in there in some aspect.
And this is right down her alley. This is her repertoire right here. This is her, you know, bread and butter, this kind of film. Because after 13 Ghosts, things kind of went downhill for her career-wise. So she needs to do the Tara Reid and grasp onto what she can, which is Sharknado.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, we can add that one to the list to discuss. But no, I agree. I mean, she definitely could reach out and do some other stuff. I know she's busy. She's doing a lot with animals and fundraising for, I think, endangered species and some animal fundraising stuff. I know she was just on Celebrity Big Brother too, I think, but not to stray too far off subject. But either way, yeah, I definitely agree with you that if they were going to make an addition, she would be a classic fit, or even like Carmen Electra. Having a cameo with Carmen Electra, something like that, because there's some of these girls that are just synonymous with these types of films. And I think they definitely would benefit if there were to be another film made by throwing some of them girls in there.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that as well.
All right. So we've pretty much covered the ridiculousness of this film that just works. So like I said, I definitely enjoyed this movie. I would definitely like to see a dark version of it. Like Kent, like you said, definitely terrifying when you're talking about things under the water that you're unaware about, like the Jaws factor and all that shit. And I'm right there with you. That's definitely something that is terrifying. And that's how I know that if they wanted to do an absolutely scary film regarding this similar storyline, or whatever, they could definitely do it. So I definitely recommend seeing this film if you haven't seen it. It's been out for 8 years, and I thought it had a pretty good following. It did pretty well in the box office. I think it made nearly $50 million, and it's received pretty well. 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb. Obviously, that doesn't fare real well, but a lot of films don't get good reviews anyway when it comes to that kind of stuff. But if you want a fun bloodbath, just bunch of nonsense that all just happens to work together, I highly suggest that you check this out. So final thoughts, Kent.
I have to recommend it, man. Obviously not with children around, because it's basically gore porn and nudity. That's basically what it is, but it's a lot of fun. It's not, you know, if you're just looking for a flick to get a few giggles at, and maybe have it playing in the background. I think this is a movie that I'll have playing in the background while I'm making masks and stuff like that, just because it's a good time. And I don't know why I like it, but I do. I really like it. And it's funny because I don't remember feeling this way about it the first time that I watched it. So maybe I've either not turned into such a pompous douche when it comes to movies, or maybe I'm just getting old and I like the boobs. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it works for me too, man.
Yeah, I don't know either. Like I said, it's just one of those films that it just works. But funny with that you mentioned the description as gore porn. And now that I think about it, with you using that terminology, there aren't any sex scenes in this film, which is surprising. When you consider all the partying and all the other nonsense, there are no sex scenes. So that's one thing that I don't think it would have changed the dynamic of the film by any means. But I was just thinking when you mentioned that I'm like, wait a minute, there actually weren't any sex scenes. But it is what it is. And like I said, definitely something that you can easily put on in the background. And it's one of those films that if you were playing that in the background while you're doing whatever in the shop, it's going to draw your attention a time or two. So Jesse, final thoughts for you.
Honestly, go into this movie expecting the most outrageous thing you can imagine, and then times that by 10, and you'll have a good understanding of how outrageous and hilarious this film is. It's really enjoyable, guys. I highly recommend it. Also, I've seen this many times. The less sober you are, the more you'll also enjoy it. So it's one of those films as well.
Absolutely. Definitely. If you're throwing back some drinks and just hanging out with friends, definitely a good appropriate time to watch that film. But thanks for tuning in, guys. That wraps up another episode of Death Curse Radio. So please rate and review wherever the hell you listen to the show at. Also, check us out on Facebook at Death Curse Radio, and check out the website, deathcurseradio.com. Share with your friends. And if you have any suggestions for shows, feel free to send us a message. We're open to suggestions. Had a few people recently send us messages on the show page and suggest us to talk about some certain particular films coming up. So look out for those episodes. We're going to do some more reviews and talk about some other good shit. So thanks for joining us again, and we'll see you next time.
Evil lurks in the mind of a bad man.
This is the end, friend.
Your suffering will be legendary, even in hell. What the prime time, bitch?
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Candyman. Candyman.
Eternal.
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
That is what
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Some things have a strange idea entertainment.